From KKRN Community Radio in Round Mountain, California, this is Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg. Community Works Radio is a locally produced show that focuses on people who work for the common good in their communities, people who join in KKRN's mission of fostering positive social change and healthy communities. Today, I will be highlighting the work of local Indigenous people who recently put together the third Indigenous People's History Day in Redding. With the support of the Redding Rancheria and the Shasta Historical Society, they planned a two-day event for October 19th and 20th, 2018. The details of these events will be explained in interviews that took place at the celebration, which I will play for you today on Community Works Radio. Before we get to the first interview, I would like to acknowledge and thank all of the supporters of this year's Indigenous Peoples History Celebration. In addition to the Redding Rancheria and the Shasta Historical Society, I want to thank the Pitt River Casino, the Kwan Corporation, Wind River Resort and Casino, Native Roots Network, Makaham, the McConnell Foundation, Turtle Bay Exploration Park, the Redding Rancheria Fund of the Shasta Regional Community Foundation, Viva Downtown, and KKRN. Two of the people who put a great deal of effort in planning this event were Kinwa Kravitz and Kara McClure. Indigenous Peoples Day 2018 would not have happened without them and the support of all the generous sponsors. The street fair on Saturday, October 20th, took place on Market Street in front of the Cascade Theater. There were 20 vendor booths set up selling wares and providing information. Lucero, a local Indigenous band, provided music all day and performed live from 2 to 4 p.m. You will hear them in the background of my interviews. Now stay tuned for interviews from the 2018 Indigenous Peoples Day celebration in Redding, California. Hello, I'm here right now at the Indigenous Peoples History Day in Redding, California on Market Street, and we have an exciting event going on, and I'm stopping at a booth that says Indigenous Peoples Day, Shasta County, and also Abolish Columbus Day, and I'm going to speak with Mark Dadigan and ask him to tell us about what you're doing here.
Yeah, so Indigenous Peoples Day, there are chapters of this grassroots organization in different cities all around the United States, and they are spurring local efforts to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day throughout the nation, and dozens of cities have already done this. And we're a little grassroots group of folks who are interested in pursuing this locally and also interested in improving the accuracy and inclusiveness of California history and also local history. And so we're just out here gathering signatures. And basically our whole purpose is to educate that our history need to recognize the humanity as well as the vitality of Indigenous societies now and then. A lot of K-12 textbooks, a lot of historical accounts, a lot of accounts from the Covered Wagon Historical Society type publications don't really recognize that humanity, don't really recognize that Indigenous people have had advanced civilizations here in Northern California and throughout the world since time immemorial. And so that's what we're just educating people about.
Great. I think it's well needed, much needed. And I know we're competing with the band that's just starting on, but one thing I wanted to just ask is, do you know what the first step is going to be? Do you have to go to city council to try to get this Indigenous Peoples Day name in Shasta County?
I think our first step is just kind of gathering our allies together and getting everyone together and start organizing and start building our rapport, because I think we recognize it'll be a very long effort. And so really it's just about trying to bring like-minded people together and build that rapport.
Build a network to get going.
And then definitely want to try and bring in different people who either are on councils or on boards or know people, and bring them into our circle and just start talking to them on a one-to-one level before we start trying to introduce any legislation or measures or anything like that.
Make a foundation before, right? I wasn't sure. Okay, Thanks for your time.
All right, no problem.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Community Works Radio on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. I am Ellen Sugg, and today I'm sharing the sounds and voices of people who attended the 2018 Indigenous Peoples History Day in Reading. You just heard Mark Dadigan talking about local efforts to have an official Indigenous Peoples Day in Shasta County. The movement to recognize Indigenous People Days all over the U.S. has been going on since 1989. It's a holiday that celebrates and honors the Indigenous people of America and commemorates their shared history and culture. It is celebrated across the United States on the second Monday in October and is an official city and state holiday in various localities. It began as a counter celebration held on the same day as the U.S. federal holiday of Columbus Day, which honors European explorer Christopher Columbus. Some people now reject celebrating him, saying that he represents the violent history of the colonization in the Western Hemisphere. Indigenous Peoples Day was begun in 1989 in South Dakota, where Lynn Hart and Governor Mickelson backed a resolution to celebrate Native American Day on the second Monday of October, marking the beginning of the Year of Reconciliation in 1990. It was instituted in Berkeley, California in 1992 to coincide with the 500th anniversary of the arrival of Christopher Columbus in the Americas. 2 years later, Santa Cruz, California instituted the holiday, and in the 2010s, various other cities and states took it up as well. Other names for it are the First Peoples Day, National Indigenous Peoples Day, Indian Day, or Native American Day. And there is quite a long list included with the history of various places throughout the U.S. that are celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. So that's what Mark was talking about. Now we will return to the sounds and voices of Indigenous Peoples History Day Street Fair held in Redding, California on October 20th. Danielle Brewster, who's the Outreach and Education Specialist.
Manager,
sorry. And she's at the Indigenous Peoples History Day with Women's Health Specialist. So I'm glad to see you here. KKRN also has a booth. We're excited to be here today. Would you tell us why the Women's Health Specialist wanted to be here today?
Yes, so thanks for asking. Women's Health Specialist is here to celebrate and honor Indigenous Peoples Day and the culture and history of Indigenous people. And so we're here to stand with our communities in solidarity and bring awareness and share and connect what we do at our health center with the community.
Great.
So, yeah.
And it's been a pretty good day.
It has. It's been fun. We've talked to lots of folks, come by, just didn't know that this event was happening, and talked a little bit about the history of why coming in, uniting and celebrating Indigenous Day is important, and connecting them to services. So it's been fun.
Okay, great. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. So now I'm standing with Kinwa Kravitz, who is one of the major organizers of the Indigenous Peoples Day event here in Reading that's taking place this afternoon. And so I would like you to start off by telling us what is the importance of a day like this in our community.
Sure. Well, I myself am Wintu in Pitt River and have been born and raised here in Shasta County. And as a Native person, it's important to me to, you know, remind people that we are here. And this is our home. This is where we're from. And we're in the process of, revitalizing our language and our foods and, you know, educating people about our history and the fact that we're still here. So that's why this event is important. Yeah.
Yes. And so what would you like to talk about the three parts of the event? Because this wasn't just a one-day event this time.
Yes. So yesterday, which was Friday evening, we showed the movie Tending the Wild and had a Wintu guest speaker by the name of Sage Lapina. Tending the Wild is a documentary that speaks to Native understanding and knowledge of caring and taking care of the land and how it sustains us and how we are to give back. And so I can't speak fully about the movie, but
it was very interesting.
Yeah.
There were so many really poignant stories from individual, you know, natives around California.
Yeah.
And their stories were amazing, I thought. It was well worth seeing.
Yeah, such a powerful movie. And so today we have, in the morning at 11 o'clock, we opened up the street fair, and we are featuring native vendors here, local native vendors, and some have come quite a distance to be here with us. It's important to highlight our people and the work that they do, both traditional and contemporary, you know, and they're giving and using their gifts and their artistic talents to create beautiful items. So they're here today with us. And we also are featuring the music of Aaron Lucero, who is a local Wintu and Lucero band. And they are amazing.
Yes, they are. They're going on right now, actually.
Yeah. And then this evening we will be featuring the traditional contemporary cuisine of chefs Vince and Vince Medina and Louis Trevino, and they came to be with us from San Francisco, and they are both Ohlone. So I cannot pronounce their business name, but I believe it's Mac-Aham, and Mac-Aham Ohlone cuisine, traditional cuisine or contemporary cuisine, I'm sorry. Anyhow, and so they're here with us, and they're preparing a beautiful taste of tradition, and an important aspect to what's happening right now and revitalizing our traditional foods and bringing them back, and which plays a part in our healing and our wellness as a people. So that's why it's important to have their food. And so we've opened that up to the public overall to come and share a meal with us, and it's free. So
that's
hope
fantastic.
Everybody can come out and enjoy it.
Okay. Well, anything else you'd like to say about the event before we end this up?
We'll keep on keeping on.
Right.
So we'll
this
see
is
you.
The third, this
yes,
is the
this
third
is the
in
third
four
annual.
Years and onward and upward towards the next one that comes up in a year.
Yes, and so hopefully, we will be moving toward the process of changing October 8th to Indigenous Peoples Day.
Exactly.
And,
yes.
So we're holding space.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. So now I'm speaking with Elizabeth Sato of the Pitt River Tribe. Hello.
Good afternoon.
And I'm interested. The Pitt River Tribe is one of the other sponsors of this Indigenous Peoples Day event, and I wanted to know what you think is so important about it, and why we're here today.
It's all about community. It's important for Indigenous people, particularly Native people in North America, that we come together as community, we celebrate together as community, we mourn as community, we work together as community. And today the Pitt River Tribe, through its Pitt River Casino, Pitt River Kwan, Pitt River Health Service, Pitt River Government, we're all working together today to bring information about jobs that are available in Burning, California and Alturas, California, where the Pitt River Tribe, we have 100 miles square area, and the Pitt River Tribe is 11 autonomous Indigenous bands, and I'm very proud to work for them. I'm the Human Resources Director, and we have a lot of incredible jobs, and we're going to have more jobs coming, and we'd like to see in particular tribal members be employed, but as well Native people all throughout Northern California. But I think these kinds of events are particularly important because recently there's been so much divisiveness, so much negativity that's going on in our country, and as human beings, as community, as Northern California, as California, the whole state, as a nation, we need to come together as a people and celebrate one another.
We do. And I think that's what we're here for, too. So, what do you think of the event? How's it been going?
I think it's wonderful. I mean, it's not a huge crowd, but, you know, with even small groups of people, momentous movements, momentous community, things have happened and started. And so even with a small group of people. I think it was Margaret Mead that says just even with a few people, you can start some amazing things.
That's right.
And I think that it's just been a fun day.
It has, and it's been a beautiful day, and we're listening to Indigenous musicians playing music, and there's been dancing and all kinds of vendors.
People are definitely having fun, aren't they?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we're glad to see the Pitt River Tribe here today.
Thank you, and thanks so much for inviting us.
You're welcome.
Okay, you're listening to the sounds and voices of Indigenous Peoples Day in Redding on October 20th, the street fair that went on. This is Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg. Our show today is about this event and interviews that I had that I brought back from it. We're going to take a short musical break right here with a song from Buffy St. Marie called Sing Our Own Song.
Sisters have died. Over 500 years has washed away our fears and strengthened our pride. Now we turn back the tide. We will no longer hear your commands. We will slide your control from our lands.
Sing Our Own Song by Buffy St. Marie. This is 88.5 FM KKRN Community Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg, host of Community Works Radio. Today I am sharing the sounds and voices of the Indigenous Peoples History Day held in Redding, California on September 20th. The next conversation I will be sharing is with two people who had come a long way to be in Redding for this event. Enjoy listening.
Here we are on Market Street in Redding as the Indigenous Peoples Day Street Fair wraps up. And I am speaking with Laulani Teal and Liko Martin, who are visiting here in Redding, having come all the way from Hawaii. So I'd like to know, why did you come and what are you here for and what have you been doing?
We've been here for Indigenous Peoples Day events. So we played in San Francisco at Yerba Buena Gardens and also at Alcatraz Island during the ceremony. Well, we came for the ceremony. And then we also played in Sacramento at the first Indigenous Peoples Day at Sacramento. And we're here in Redding now to connect with our other fellow Indigenous peoples and those who support and are part of that whole movement.
Great. And so you're talking about playing, so you're musicians then, I take it? And what do you do? What kind of music do you do?
Liko here is Hawaii's number one, we call him our chief bard of Aloha Aina, which Aloha Aina means love for the land. And it's a really important part of our movement in Hawaii for land protection and sovereignty. And Liko has been an activist for about 50 years and has been, since the very beginnings of what we know as the Hawaiian movement, has been really one of the primary forces there, and especially musical forces. So he's very much a traditional bard. He goes from place to place and actually meets with the people and talks with the people and tells stories and plays songs. And so I'm here as the roadie.
Okay, quite, is she the roadie?
Well, no, actually, through Laulani, because we have a, you know, generation. So some of the dreams and things that I wasn't quite able to do in my time, which I think is important for the elder people who amass certain scenarios about, gee, if we could only do this. It's connecting with the younger generations. And again, on this theme of, to me, being that my father was actually immigrant to the United States, I was born in Hawaii, my mother's Hawaiian, Chinese and stuff, where I have various indigenous roots, if you will allow me to explain it that way. So part of my quest now through my songs is to inspire as many people as possible to connect. Sometimes it's hard to connect through the mind, but through the heart.
People connecting with themselves, each other, with themselves?
With themselves on the nature of being indigenous. What does this mean? Does it have to do with waters? Does it have to do with air? Does it have to do with the quality of food? Oh yeah, grandma them used to make this thing, you know. We all have that to inspire, and that's what I'm seeing and feeling, that through the rising, the re-emerging presence of the indigenous people of this part of the world, that it can inspire other humanity to find that indigenous spirit in them.
Yes.
And put it to work.
Yes.
Like I had this, I was sitting at the table, I'm speaking to some of our friends that we've known, and all of a sudden I'm really into recycling. It's called Aloha Aina, and Aloha caring for the land. Aina, is that what feeds us? And all of a sudden, the mayor was there, and I said, Reading recycles. And I went, now there's a something, Liko. Reading recycles. Is it possible that an area of 90,000 people, which seems like a lot, but it's a drop in the bucket, can all of a sudden say, hey, you know what? I think we got the tools, we have the resources, we have the spiritual need, we're enlightened people now, that we can say, what if Redding said all of a sudden, we're going to empower, we are going to get the tools, and we're going to be a little more on the offensive about, and not run away from the issue of recycling, which comes back to our natural resources, which is, to me, the source and the core of experiencing an indigenous lifestyle.
Yes, and so how do you see an Indigenous People's Day in Redding and Sacramento and San Francisco helping this? What is it doing? What are these celebrations
Inspiration.
Doing?
Inspiration. And people connecting with each other and raising the visibility of the importance of Indigenous culture. Okay? Mm-hmm. To me, geographically, Redding is kind of at the top. Whatever happens in Redding, good or bad or in between, goes downhill, gravity. So if you were to, some things, of course, you know, we have a lot of toxins in the world, some of them that take, you know, what do we do? So it can fuel, like yourself, getting involved. It all of a sudden, instead of being trying to say, what about me? You can have it coming down from the top, where the top says, we're not going to wait for you to come over here. We know you that you are there. What is it that will enhance your indigenous lifestyle? Not just your spirit and your prayer for something that is possibly you want to regain, but what can we actually do? Oh, you mean this river that runs through there Oh, that's where those trees grow. Oh, my gosh. Gee, I tasted some of that last night. And as far away, as minuscule as it may seem, every little bit can help. And awareness, enlightenment, and support, you know, versus denial, versus, you know, well, you know, doing something out of spite. We say, yeah, but those guys are draining. We do it because our conscience is asking us to do this.
Yes. Lo'olani, do you have any particular ideas about the value of Indigenous Peoples' Days?
Well, I think what's important about it is that when the city of Reading acknowledges its original peoples, that, you know, that connects it more to what we call pono, or, you know, the everything being right and in balance, you know. And I'm just learning about the histories of these lands and the horrible genocide that has taken place in so much of California. You know, it just, the history is absolutely unbelievable and really needs to be understood by everybody. And that history is just kind of coming out now. And out of those people who can know that history and acknowledge it, healing only really comes from not only doing that, but then also actively working to set something right. It's like when you have a bone that's broken, you know, you can't just leave it alone over time and expect it to get better. You know, you need to actually, it's going to be really painful to put those parts back together again and, you know, wrap them correctly and heal that really bad thing that's happened. But that's exactly what needs to be done if you're going to have a functional body. Otherwise, you're not going to have health. You're not going to have wellness. You're not going to have happiness. You're going to live in pain that you may not acknowledge, but the pain is there. And that's what a lot of America is experiencing, that kind of pain. So, you know, I think things like Indigenous Peoples Day, it may be a small thing, but what it means is that somebody is acknowledging that something was broken to begin with, that there are such a thing as Indigenous peoples in the first place.
Right.
And, you know, and the restoration that can come out of that. You know, in Hawaii, we're working to be a completely free, independent, neutral country, because legally we are.
Yes.
You know, there's an illegal occupation, military occupation by the United States of our neutral, free country that has been going on for 125 years, you know, and I can't make a judgment about what is going on here, but we can pretty much say there are parallels.
Definitely parallels.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we're working actively, and there are many of us working for that restoration. It doesn't mean anybody gets kicked out of their house. It doesn't mean that, you know, oh, Hawaiians will get this and other people don't get that, or anything like that. But it means that you need to set things straight, and the original ownership does need to be returned, and everybody benefits from that. Yeah, first acknowledged and then actually returned.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, you have to actually go back and say, hey, this was taken from you and it has passed into my hands and I give it back to you, you know. And that's very hard in terms of things like land, but the fact is that when that is done on a really large scale, then healing can happen and then people can be better off, you know. I mean,
I want to just interrupt with a question. What do you think white people can do in this healing? I mean, there are quite a few non-natives here, or I could say non-natives instead of white people.
Mm-hmm.
What role can we play? I mean, I'm here as a non-native, but I fully support the restoration of culture, the acknowledgement, the learning of the history. I want to know more about the history myself, and I encourage all people, no matter what their race is, to want to do that. So I just wondered if either of you have ideas or suggestions, of what we do to help or how we might,
answered the question yourself. In the context of a white person, okay, now I have four different, nationalities. I'm Chinese, I'm Hawaiian, my parents, escaped from Spain, so to get stuck on color, it's a thing that we've been conditioned to think like that.
Mm-hmm.
When we are, we are so much humanity, and we are getting closer and closer together. We are being forced to get closer together because there's less water. Okay? Like, even if we look on a global scale, now we have a trade war. Maybe this whole thing of what we thought we needed from somewhere else, it's time to look at, maybe we don't need it. Maybe that we're just running away from what we used to do ourselves as people. Okay?
Mm.
One humanity.
Yeah.
All needing water.
Strive to be one.
Strive to be one.
Yeah. I mean, injustice to one is injustice to all. And I know that as long as anybody on earth is out of balance, it's going to affect all of us.
Example, back, Laulani mentioned history with Hawaii. In 1893, of course, Hawaii was militarily taken over, and basically the ethic of towards treatment of humanity, towards slavery and servitude that ended at the Civil War, transferred away from Scotland, and it's in Hawaii, in the South America, okay? But the Queen, at that time, we still are a neutral power. Neutral power, why do you have a neutral power? To diffuse, so that you have equality treatment, But she, instead of blaming all of the Americans, she knew that it was only a very small element that wanted, that saw the prize of Hawaii, that I would take the lands, and we'd this and that, we'd become the sugar barons, we would do this. And she knew that if she just called out to the Americans are no good, that's not going to get anywhere. And what she identified was the honesty, that honest American. And 2 years ago, Laulani and I retraced her voyage, her trip to Washington, D.C. If we'd have gone with judgment and anger and condemning it again, everything, America, but it's white, it's every color of the rainbow. It was calling for the honesty to come.
What we did was we refiled her letter. She had a letter that she filed in 1897 protesting the proposed annexation of Hawaii to the United States, because, up until then it had just been a rogue bunch of businessmen with guns who invaded the palace, but they had a contingent of Marines backing them up, that were because of basically a dirty deal with the U.S. minister. But America itself had not taken that action per se. So, what Liko is talking about is that she filed a very clear protest before America took any action in Hawaii. And the history books don't tell that. They don't tell that she never, never conceded anything to the United States. Not, to be governed by the United States, never. And the Hawaiian people have not either. And you cannot just take a neutral country that is not yours with no war. There was no war, right?
Right.
You can't just take it and call it yours when there's a existing government there. So what we've done is we've kept our sovereignty, alive, and it is still alive, and it's starting to come back, And So anyway, that was what Licho was talking about, is that we were sending, you know, that this message that, yes, she filed this protest in 1897. It was, it still holds true. She never backed down on it. No one has ever backed down on it. There has been no force in Hawaii to concede or to make a treaty or anything like that. And we are, we're still sovereign. And the America needs to deoccupy and remove its military from Hawaii.
There's a military base on land.
There's a lot of military. There's huge pollution. I mean, Hawaii is the most militarized place in the Pacific.
Yes.
There's military everywhere, and they use it to launch wars, which is absolutely illegal in a neutral country. Mm. So, you know, you absolutely cannot do that. And so what we need to do, you know, America was allowed to be there previously when the kingdom was active, was allowed to be there, as were many other countries, you know, as neutral, friendly nations, mm-hmm. as friendly nations to our neutral country. Mm-hmm. So that is what we are looking to restore, and that's what we went to Washington, D.C. to basically tell
bring
them,
to people's attention.
Yeah, that
did
we
you
need.
Speak to the Congress?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
You know, this is what, you know, is looks before us as many, many people, you know. I mean, if even you go back. But to me, the indigenous, the awareness of indigenous culture, that it would bring people together.
Yes.
Not be another issue that divides them and says that, well, you're indigenous and I'm not. And,
right.
And I'm like, when as a matter of fact, if you break it down, the cultures of the world.
Yeah, well, you know, people have wandered all over the world and ended up in lots of places, and they're going to continue to do so. But that doesn't mean you have to disrespect the people that were there before you. And, you know, we need to work. Last night I was here for Attending the Wild and the speech afterwards, and a lot of what was in that was about traditional knowledge and wisdom. And using traditional natives in California, it was about natives in California that are trying to use traditional native knowledge and wisdom to restore their own cultures, and are trying to teach us that anyone can do this, you know, that a better relationship with the earth, looking out, knowing what plants and animals do for each other and what you do, and you know, relationships. And I don't know, it was very moving. I was just like, I have to say, it was, I felt like it was so beautiful and such a wonderful vision and such a wonderful notion, but I just wonder what a mess we are. How are we going
how
to?
How do we do it?
So I would say that it is very important to communicate with the indigenous people and actually to participate in those things that those peoples are doing to protect the land, to protect the water.
Right.
Because, you know, honestly, there a lot of times what you see, it's good to have inspiration. Inspiration is very important. But if you take inspiration and do it a completely way that is out of harmony with the original instructions given to those original people, you may do things in a way that creates conflict. And so to minimize that conflict and to make things do the right way, it's very important to communicate with the original people themselves, particularly when there are times when people are needed, such as land struggles, such as water struggles, those kinds of things, and to develop relationships and to talk
right.
to people, you know, and actually understand why it's important to do things one way as opposed to a different way. You
yes.
know, those things are very, very important. Otherwise, it can be, rather than culturally appropriate, it might be cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a fine line, right, between
culturally appropriate and cultural appropriation, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of that line.
Right.
So the way to ensure that is to develop those relationships. It can be scary for people.
To work together.
Yeah, it can be.
To work together, to network.
Right. People don't know how to get involved. They don't know how to start. And, you know, I'll always say that the best way to start is when there is something where there's a call out for people, listen for that call and respond to that call. Mm-hmm. Because through that, you will develop relationships.
Yes, I agree. Well, that's how I happened to get involved with helping. I was a planner for this event in a small way. I joined the committee. I called and asked to come to a meeting and join the committee because I wanted to support it happening, and I wanted our community radio station, KKRN, to, you know, we all want to support this Indigenous movement and the recognition of having an Indigenous Day, you know, to celebrate. So I guess that's a good step.
That's a good step, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's been very nice to talk with both of you. I mean, anything else you might want to say before I wrap it up? We really appreciate you coming, and I understand you're doing music at the at the dinner. The traditional Taste of Tradition is coming up. Really looking forward to that.
And people can follow Liko on likomartin.org.
It reminded me of this song that when I participated in the American Bicentennial in 1976, the Smithsonian flute.
We really appreciate you coming, and I understand you're doing music at the at the dinner. The traditional Taste of Tradition is coming up. Really looking forward to that.
And people can follow Liko on likomartin.org.
Great. I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot to. Yeah.
Liko, on YouTube. That's my record company.
Oh. Is it L-I-C-O?
L-I-K-O.
K-O. L-I. No C in Hawaiian.
Sorry. Not yet. But you never know.
There's a big C, a really big C.
Okay, a C, okay, that one. So L-I-K-O Martin .org and on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to do that, and I can't wait to hear you perform, and it's been wonderful to meet you today.
Medicine.
It was a great thing that I got to meet you today.
Yeah, it was wonderful to be here.
Okay.
Hear some old rock and roll.
Yeah, by Lucero. The Indigenous musicians of Reading. The only ones.
Once when I was in Reading some years ago, I was invited by one person who was teaching hula. And they had every month they had a kanekapila, which was to get together and play music. So they brought all these people together. So I happened to show up. And here I am sitting in this small room, and they had a big PA, and I said, well, no, we don't need a big PA. I get scared of a PA, you know. So just put the PA away. Let's just sit close together. And as I've been writing songs since I was 9 years old, so I've got like over 60 years of songwriting. So it's just like having this magic. Oh well, a song for this and a song because of that. Many of the songs helped me understand, helped me figure
music
out.
Music is a wonderful
how to get across the river, how to get back. And so they're like medicine for me, and I'm finding that as it worked for me, it might work for other people.
Yeah.
So I was sitting in the room, and I had this one gentleman, and he was sitting there, and he wasn't tapping his feet or anything, and he was sitting there, and it was all kind of mixed people. So I glanced over, and there was a woman there with the banjo, and it reminded me of this song that I had written when I participated in the American Bicentennial in 1976. And the Smithsonian flew me to Washington, D.C. to write some songs that they had created out of the theme for the Bicentennial. And I'm so glad I can remember this, because the theme for the American Bicentennial was Let's Clean Up America for Our 200th Birthday.
Wow.
And I think that is a theme that needs to be revisited and brought to the forefront.
Exactly.
And so one of these songs I was singing, it had to do with about sitting and driving in traffic. And when I joined the Air Force during the Vietnam War, I kind of ended up in Texas. Because I was a good typist, because all the girls were in the typing classes, you know. And so I ended up in some administrative things I was doing. But what happened was I got used to country music. So at this event at Reading, I looked over and I said, well, I'm going to play this song called, you know, Tired of Driving Through the City. And so it was just like this old country, imagine a country band, and they're going, well, my eyes are settling on the wooden floor. And you call the country music, man, because the city's got the blues, boys. Living on earth, one time living, and all this stuff. And then the chorus of the song, so we're getting tired, driving through the city, through the want, worry, and the pity. Can't seem to help myself, falling through the stoplights, from living the country ways and getting off on my life. And did, by golly, this guy just lit up. He was going like this. And I said,
music is power.
Music is power. It's power.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm on that page with you.
It opens up what just the mind cannot get out of. Music. It penetrates it. It's like
it
water.
That's one of the answers, too. Do music
and
together.
And that thrilled me. As to see everyone together. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Look
for
my
the commonalities
And so thank you so much for giving us the time to share. So aloha from Hawaii. And,
Well, thank you. It was a great pleasure for me to do this. Thanks.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay. Signing off.
If you're just tuning in, that was Liko Martin and Laulani Teal speaking with me at the Indigenous Peoples Day held in Reading on October 20th of this year. We talked as the street fair was closing down. The final event of the day was a unique and special event called the Taste of Tradition. An Indigenous chef from the Bay Area came up to Reading with his own crew to create and serve an amazing meal with contemporary Native cuisine. I have a short statement from the chef, who is named Vincent Medina.
We're here with Makaunham, and we're an organization that works to revive our Ohlone food traditions. We're Ohlone run, and our homeland is in the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as the Monterey area, where Medina is from, and where his homeland is. So we work with our community to revive our food traditions, because we want these food traditions to be a part of our community's future, to find ways to make sure that these foods remain relevant and also are passed down, and that our elder sacrifices are honored, and that those things are encouraged to be able to be in our lives in the future. And so the foods that we're going to eat today are all reflective of traditional foods from the San Francisco Bay Area that are very, very much related as well to foods from this area as well. And I want to acknowledge where we are and to say thank you to Reading Rancheria, to the Wintu people for allowing us to be here in your homelands. So we acknowledge that we're guests here in your place, and we want to be the best guests that we can be before we make our way home tomorrow. So thank you all to Reading Rancheria and to Kenwa for all of your work to make this happen.
That was the voice of Vince Medina, chef of Makaunham, who spoke to the crowd that had gathered at the atrium in Reading to enjoy the Taste of Tradition provided free of charge by this year's Indigenous Peoples History Celebration sponsors. It was a wonderful way to end the 2018 Indigenous Peoples Day in Reading. If you are interested in knowing more about that event or want to be involved with future events, you can call KKRN's business office for more information, 337-1101. Once again, I want to thank Kenwa Kravitz and Kara McClure for their hard work, as well as all the others who helped out and the sponsors of this event. You have been tuned in to listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. We are supported by listeners like you and brought to you by volunteers from the community. You can become a listener supporter by going to our website, kkrn.org, and clicking on the donate button, or by mailing a check to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. You can call 337-1101 to learn how to volunteer at KKRN Community Radio. Remember that KKRN programs
programming streams live on our website and on the KKRN mobile phone app. We also have a Facebook page, KKRN 88.5, where you can like us and get news about your community radio. Thank you for listening to Community Works Radio on KKRN. If you would like to talk about your community organization and work, please call me at 337-1101. In the meantime, remember, it's going to take us all.
We need the Buddhists and the Baptists, Quakers and Catholics too, the atheists and agnostics, Muslims and Jews. We need people of all nations, all colors and all creeds, to put an end to war now, put an end to greed. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all. It's gonna take us all. We need the immigrants and the unions, the greens and the gays, hip hoppers and beboppers and women for equal pay. Farm workers out in the sun, homeless out in the rain, seniors and soccer moms, a world that is humane. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all. Gonna take us all. Socialists and the anarchists, the pacifists and the humanists, every culture and community takes black and white and brown. Times we won't see eye to eye, but we stand on common ground. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all to make a change, all to win the peace, all in the streets, all. Gonna take us all. Oh,